Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. We're here today I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love, and our special guest today is Daryl Haley. He's the CEO and general manager of SORTA, and we'll kind of get into the bus system and what SORTA stands for and everything during special guest time. He has just done some really great things with SORTA, so we're just going to hit all the highlights, I think, today.
It's going to be a great conversation, and I think listeners who are thinking like, oh, we're going to talk about the bus, no, this is way more than a conversation about riding the bus. This is about how our transportation system is changing and responding to the needs of people now. I had the chance to meet with Daryl and some members of his board, and frankly, was just blown away by everything that they're doing. So that's going to be a fun
conversation. We're in a change moment for Florida, so.
I think we are. So, but before we do that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Enquirer's special investigative report on the impact of vaping in our community, particularly with teens. That story went live this week. It's going to be in print on Sunday. It's about a six-month in-the-making project involving about a dozen of our journalists. It is something that it's an example of one of those situations where we see stories popping up about, you know, this individual here, you know, a young person having some kind of health situation tied to vaping, talking to members in the community about concerns with vape stores popping up seemingly on every corner, and then the schools, just how much effort educators have had to put in, you know, the distraction of having to deal with how do they keep kids from, you know, cutting class, vaping in the bathrooms, selling vapes to each other at school.
Vapes that look like highlighter pens.
Vapes that look like USB sticks. So anyway, the project launched this week. And
there's several stories. I want to remind people, it started on Wednesday, September 27th, but there's several stories related to this. And sometimes it can be a little difficult to navigate the website just on the app, just because it's a list of stories. That's how it goes. If you're interested in this subject, don't think you just read one. Really look for them. We're recording on Thursday, September 28th. A lot of data in today's story, and it's really jarring about where the vape stores are, how close they are to schools, and there's just a lot of data. So we told a personal story, but there's many more pieces to this, what vaping does to the body. And this is the kind of story I really wish Madeline Mitchell, our schools reporter, was a big reporter on this project. Many people worked on it, and she's out of town this week. We could have had her in. She's talked passionately about this with me for a while. And so there's just a lot of pieces here to this.
The last piece of the project deals with the accountability. Like, you know, it's already illegal to sell tobacco products to minors. So how has the introduction of e-cigarettes, flavored cartridges that go with these vape pens, you know, you can get berry flavor, you can get bubblegum flavor. And even though it's not like overtly marketed to teens, some would say it is clearly trying to appeal to young people, and it does. And so why aren't our laws effective? Why are they so hard to enforce? The story gets into all of that, that for some of the less than, shall we say, ethical owners of these tobacco stores, and you can get them at, you know, convenience stores, grocery stores, it's not just the dedicated smoke stores. It's sometimes worth paying the fine if they do get busted, because there's not really a mechanism to shut these stores down right now. And so paying the fines if they do get caught in a sting operation or a police officer does happen to see them, you know, we talk in the story about a young person walking out of a vape store and an officer seeing it and issuing a citation. It's just the cost of doing business. And so the laws we have are ineffective and so difficult to enforce. And from, you know, an educational standpoint, you know, teachers and principals and all of that stuff, are barely keeping up with it sometimes. You know, they're spending money to install vape detectors in restrooms. You know, they're dealing with kids that are passing out. It's a serious situation. And I don't think anyone in our community, our region, has done a comprehensive report that has really, you know, broken it down into, you know, what is the effect on family and educators? What is it really doing to the body? Why is it so hard to address it from a parent standpoint? You mentioned, you know, these things look like highlighters. They're very small. They're just easy to hide. They're easy to obtain. You can even buy them online. So I hope everybody spends some time with it. And as I said in the column I wrote about, like, you know, why we did it and the investment we made, you know, it's our hope when we tackle a topic like this that it sparks enough conversation that leads to action. And so we will see. We've gotten some great feedback already. A superintendent from one of our school districts thanked us for making it available for free. It is not behind the subscriber paywall, even though this was a huge investment of time. We're making it free as a public service, and this superintendent was thankful that we did that because she wanted to share it to all the families in their school district. So that's our vaping project, Sherry.
All right. Well, I definitely have been reading along, and I have a 15-year-old son, so it is a subject that we have brought up in our house to just...
And I have a 17-year-old son.
As educational.
I have a 17-year-old son, and I have firsthand experience with this, and I share that in the column as
well.
You
did do that. Burl's column is, it's a good one this week.
Compared to the other weeks where it's not so good. All right. Well, is it special guest time?
Yes, it is.
Let's do it.
Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. I'm pleased to welcome today someone I get to talk to in my job, but we have not had on the podcast before, shockingly, Daryl Haley. He's the CEO and general manager of Sorta. In other words, if you ride the bus or see a bus, he's in charge of it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we have to tell everybody what SORTA stands for.
I actually know. I wrote it down, but I know anyway. But I checked it because I always check 3CDC and I always check SORTA, Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority.
That's right. Exactly right.
And our listeners would know it as the group that oversees the Metro bus system.
That's right.
So, Daryl, this is like a second career for you.
This is my second career.
Leading transportation. You were in
medical supplies.
I've always wanted to ask you what from the medical supply field applies to transportation.
We transported medical supplies. So
there you go. That's all I need to hear.
The division in Cincinnati, we covered all of Cincinnati inside the 275 loop. And it's interesting, if you place your order before 10 o'clock, it actually got delivered the same day. So we had a fleet of vans that delivered medical supplies all throughout
Amazon before
area.
Amazon. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you hear everybody praise Amazon for the last mile and all those types of delivery challenges, you're probably thinking we've been doing that.
Yes, absolutely. I understand all
same
of that.
In our industry with bringing papers to people's porch.
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to stress you out and talk about that.
So, man, so much to talk about. When you came, so Daryl,
he starts at Sorta in 2006.
He recently came and met with our editorial board.
Oh.
And
I was
we talked a lot about what happened in the 3 years now since the transportation levy was passed. And just a little bit of background, in 2020, there was a major comprehensive transportation plan that was put before voters because the funding mechanism was an increase in the sales tax. And it wasn't just a bus tax. I remember talking to our good friend, Craig Cassie, who is the board chair for SORTA. This is not about just buses. This is about an integrated transportation plan that's built on the back of the existing metro bus system, but more than that. And when you started talking about some of the things that has happened since that time, it was eye-opening to me, just the options people have. Can you, for our listeners, tell us what's been going on since they approved the sales tax?
So the Reinventing Metro Plan, what it will do for our community is, as we all know, transit is the great equalizer. It will allow people to live anywhere in this region and have access to jobs, to healthcare, to education, to social service. You know, it won't matter where you live, where you can connect to. So we're going to connect this region in a very different way. So the Reinventing Metro Plan, there are things like more frequency. So we've delivered a lot more frequency during the week. We've delivered a lot more weekend service, a lot more Saturday service. There are routes that never ran on Sundays that now run on Sundays. So we're really excited about the additional service that we've put out. And there's more to come. We're also excited. We introduced a new service, a new mode of transportation called Metro Now. It is an on-demand service. So you have an app, and you're at your house and you say, I want to go somewhere within the same zone that I'm in. You go to the app, a vehicle will show up at your front door and take you to somewhere within that same zone for $2.
It sounds like Uber, but lots cheaper.
And if you're a single parent and you have two small kids under 35 inches, that $2 will get you and your two small kids on that vehicle. We've launched two zones. We launched the first zone in Springdale, Sharonville. The second zone we launched was in Northgate, Mount Healthy. We're going to launch four more next year. It's really exciting, and it drives equity into those regions as well. So it's places where there's not a lot of robust transit, the street network doesn't allow it, or the density of the neighborhood doesn't allow it. But then a vehicle within 5 to 8 minutes shows up at your front door. It will also connect you to the system so you can connect to a bus stop. And from that bus stop, you can move anywhere throughout the region. We're really excited about the new service.
So if I want to get to a doctor's appointment or do some shopping within the zone, it takes me point A to point B.
Yes.
And it takes me home as well?
Yes.
With the app?
Absolutely. Or you can pick up the phone and make a phone call and schedule your trip that way as well. And all of our vehicles are ADA compliant. So even if you're in a wheelchair, you can use this service to get you anywhere within those zones.
So this was the part I was shocked at, because let's face it, there's a reluctance, I think, for people in our community to rely on public transportation for whatever reason that is. Past reliability issues, we just feel like we want to drive everywhere. And so solving the problem of moving people around, not just with buses, but these options that, you know, like when you first described it, it reminded me of Uber or Lyft, but much more geared towards, like you said, the great equalizer.
So this is
how's the ridership been?
I'm glad you asked that question, because this is really, really, really exciting. There are only about three or four transit agencies in the country that have exceeded pre-pandemic ridership. We are one of those transit agencies that have exceeded pre-pandemic ridership. We're really excited about that. When the pandemic hit, one of the things we did that was different is we did not cut service. Most transit agencies across the country, because ridership dipped so bad, they cut service. But we understood that the essential workers still needed to get there, the hospital worker, the grocery store workers. So we continue to run 100% of our service all throughout the pandemic. And then we did something that was even crazier. We added service. We added 24-hour service, more frequency, more Saturday, more Sunday service, so people could connect not just to more jobs, but to higher paying jobs. which could make a difference in their lives. And now with the new service, the Metro Now service, where there's not the density for a 40-foot bus or it doesn't fit the network, you now have a way to connect to the system. So we're really excited. We've been sort of for 50 years. And it's,
I know. Happy birthday. 50 years ago. The bus system used to be private. 50 yes. years ago. I learned this from Daryl. Obviously, I'm not just recounting facts. I just know in my head.
You're not a transportation buff.
Although I probably wrote it into a story yes. at one point in my life. Yes. But 50 years ago, the bus system was private and the city bought it.
Yes.
And the city was like, we're going to have city, city transportation right. and everything. I do think that was very forward thinking of the city.
And it's exciting for 50 years later to be in growth mode, that we're adding service, we're adding new modes of transportation. And if any of your listeners hasn't been on a bus for a number of years, they should go ride the bus. This is not your father's transportation system. Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi on all of our buses. Most of our buses have charging stations. Eventually, they all will have charging stations. It's very different, very comfortable. Our operators are very friendly. We've got the most amazing employees in the world here in Cincinnati. Our operators are very helpful. If you're not quite sure how to use the bus when you get on, if you ask the operator, this is where I'm going, he'll help you to navigate the city, where he'll remind you where to get off. We've got great employees. It's not your father's bus system.
Tell me a little bit more about you call it Metro
Now.
How many vehicles in the fleet for Metro Now, and how many do you expect to add as you expand into the zones?
So we will add as many as we need. Right now, we're using about 4 vehicles for each zone. If we need to add more vehicles to the zone, we will. Our ridership has doubled every month since we started. And we started one zone in May, the second zone in July. So people are really taking to it. One of the real exciting things, we're starting to work through the data right now. And the number one stop for Metro Now is Kroger's. In both zones. So what people are doing is they're taking the opportunity to not run down to the corner store to spend more for milk than they have to, and they're connecting to the grocery store. But they'll use this to connect to a healthcare in their neighborhood. They'll use it to connect to our main system so that they can move from their communities to jobs all throughout the union, or to, you know, catch a bus down to a Bengals game or to a Reds game, or to dinner, all of the things that you want to connect to in our region. We're real excited about what's happening.
Are you ready to say where the 4 new zones are?
The 4 new zones that we'll be rolling out next year, and we'll roll at least 4 out next year, are the Forest Park area, the Blue Ash area, the Mount Airy area, and the Bond Hill area. And I'm positive there'll be others after that.
I think you should take one of the inaugural rides.
I think I should. I think I definitely should.
I'd love to take it with you.
All right, let's do it. Well, I'll write about it. It'll be one of my columns.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did talk a little bit about the transportation tax and the money that it's bringing in. But a lot of the money, of course, like the initial money, went to the Western Hills Viaduct, which is mm-hmm. getting underway, right?
Yes, that's very exciting as well.
And finally happening, really thanks to this. This was like the final money piece when they tried to put money together for years to get that bridge done. But there's projects in all of the different neighborhoods. This was a main selling point of the tax. It wasn't just like Dear Citizens pass a tax for the bus system. It was like, please pass a tax and some of the money will go into important neighborhood projects that enhance transportation. Mm-hmm. And the one in my neighborhood, I love so much. And you know what? We knew right away. When it was happening, I was like, I think this is the money from the tax. We yes. got a big sidewalk project around Mount St. Joe University, where I live near, mm-hmm. that we didn't have sidewalks. Like it was, but we would all still, you know, kind of like walk on the hill grass on the side of the road, because it just, you had to get around, you needed to do that. And there was no safe way. You wanted to walk and we would just do it. People in like, take our lives in our hands. But this sidewalk project, it's lovely, just at the corner. And it's just, it's made things so much better. And then they put up signs and they're like, project brought to you by Sword. And I was like, I knew it. But all of the neighborhoods have projects like this. The money has been distributed into various neighborhoods. They just You did the third round of funding? I can't believe the third round already.
Yes. So it's exciting. And if you go to our website, we're at go-metro.com. You can take a look at all of the projects that's been awarded. We're really excited. And as you said, Sherry, they're all throughout Hamilton County, projects all throughout Hamilton County. And you talked about sidewalks. So you think about these dollars spent to drive safety into these neighborhoods and crosswalks and really, really positive things going on in the neighborhoods. And I have to say this year one, we awarded $227 million to fix roads and bridges in our region. $205 million of that, of course, was to Western Hills Viaduct. Year two, there was an additional, a little bit more than $39 million. And third round, the tax generated more than $42 million to fix roads and bridges in our neighborhood. So this is exciting. So as you take fixing roads and bridges and a transit network that really connects people and drives safety. And the other thing we're doing is we're installing at least 205 shelters throughout Hamilton County and over 400 benches. So there'll be real comfortable places for people to sit and wait for the bench. So we're reinventing our transit system 50 years in to really a robust transit system that connects this region in a way this region has never been connected before. And we're really excited about this.
Which leads me to one of my questions, but I'm going to save that for my second question. Going back to the levy, when this was put before voters, one of the things that was, I think, part of the campaign and part of the messaging was getting the community to understand that a transportation system is not about buses for poor people.
That's right.
It's not a service for,
that's right,
for poor people, that it is that vital is right to the region's economic health and growth. It's just, you know, you call it the great equalizer. It's such a driver. And so I think at the time we wrote several columns and editorials kind of calling for us, we, the region, the people, to understand that. Have you seen since then a shift? Like, are you fighting that perception? Have we become more sophisticated as a community in our view of public transportation?
We have become more sophisticated. That ship is starting to turn, and people are starting to understand the importance of public transportation and how it fits in their lives. And I think one of the reasons that is because we didn't build Reinventing Metro in-house. We built it with the community. We spent a lot of time in the community understanding their travel patterns, understanding what their needs were. And then as we started building this network, we got the network built. And then we didn't implement it. We took what we built and we went back out to the community and we showed it to them. And we said, this is what we heard you say. This is what we're doing. And then we got feedback again. One of the things I love to talk about is our 24-hour service. Reinventing Metro Plan had 6 routes at 24 hours. So after we built the 6 routes at 24 hours from what we heard from the community, we went back out to the community and we said, this is what you told us. These 6 corridors, you wanted 24-hour service on these corridors. And the community said back to us, yes, that's what we want. But if you don't live on one of those corridors, you can't take advantage of that. We'd love to have a crosstown to connect east and west of those corridors. So when we delivered our 24-hour service, we didn't deliver the 6 routes we promised. We delivered 7 routes because the community said, this is what we want. So we spend a lot of time in the community, listening to the community. And we believe it's one of the reasons that we're one of the only transit systems that's over 100% of pre-pandemic ridership, because we're delivering the transit system that the community really wants, that fits their needs.
Here, I'm going to give a shout out to one of my favorites, Cam Hardy, who was just an advocate,
yes,
really, for buses. And he really, some of my really like first bus riding, he's like, this is ridiculous. We're riding the bus together. And like showed me everything. But he went from just being a community activist and he pushed just for the tax because he really believed in the bus system and he knew the people on the buses and he would bring them to sort of board to talk to,
yes,
our leaders and everything. And,
yes,
now he works for you guys as,
absolutely,
a community liaison.
You know, I thought that was brilliant. You take your most, at the time, your most public critic and you turn him into an ally. You say, okay, you're right. you represent frustrations of people.
But I think he's an ally because they're doing what he
But that's the best way. Right. That's the best way to manage the opposition. You bring him to the table.
So it's one
and
of the
listen
things,
to them. And now now he works on behalf of you.
So it's one of the things Metro does. We do listen. We listen, and Cam is someone that has a lot of experience with the bus. He understands how important a robust transit system is for our community. He's got great ideas. And if you know Cam, he's got a lot of energy. He's perfect to be an employee.
He can talk to anybody on the bus. Like, he is bringing back, he's giving the information and getting the information from the people on the buses, for sure.
Yes. So it's great to have people like Cam as part of our organization. And it's like I tell them, I work for them. They don't work for us. You know, we're all in this together. We win together, we lose together. This is about the community that we live in. I was born and raised in Cincinnati. I raised my family here. This is important to me. We really need to change our region. Transit is a way we can drive equity into this region. And what we're doing here, I am really proud of.
So I have one more transportation story, and I want to save time for the Daryl Haley story, because you mentioned you're from here, but you talked about connecting the region. What has the partnership or the integration with the bus service in Kentucky been, Tank?
It's been fantastic. And I will tell you, Tank and Metro has always had a relationship that works really well. As we plan our trips, we make sure the connections both ways work really well. We have a pass, a Metro Tank pass, a day pass, a 30-day pass, so you can buy one pass and ride the bus both ways. One of the other things that we've done, not just with Tank, but also with Butler County, the app that you use to ride the bus, you can use that same app in Northern Kentucky with Tank. You can use that same app with Butler County. So you literally can plan your trip from the airport in Butler County all the way to the airport in Northern Kentucky. You can watch the buses move in real time. You can pay your fare on all three systems on the app. So there's a lot of integration. And again, our region isn't just Cincinnati or Hamilton County. We have a much larger region, Butler County, Warren County, Claremont County, Northern Kentucky. You know, and maybe one day Dayton will be included in that.
So my true test, the reason I asked this, and by the way, Tank, Sherry?
Yes.
Go. What does it stand for? They're not driving tanks around. Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky.
Okay. All right.
Tank. Yeah. My test will be, because a lot of times when I go to the airport, I live in Blue Ash, and I have parking here at the Enquirer building downtown. So I will drive and park my car here at the Enquirer, and then get either an Uber or a cab, or sometimes Tank, because Tank will come across.
I have taken the bus.
You can
to the
take
airport
the Tank
downtown.
Airport shuttle. I think it picks up at the hotels, maybe right here on 3rd Street. I've taken a Tank to the airport.
Yes.
Because I'm too cheap to pay for Ubers to the airport. So my test
this
will be.
This will be. This is fascinating to me. I'm learning something.
Next time I have to travel for work, can I walk outside my drive, down my driveway in Blue Ash, and take public transportation to the airport and make my flight? That's going to be the true test for me as a person.
So I will tell you, when you were asking me about Metro Now, Blue Ash is one of the zones that we will be implementing for Metro Now. You will be able to take your app and ask a vehicle to come pick you up at your front door, and it will take you to a bus stop, which will bring you downtown where you'll transfer to a Tank bus and get to the airport. So the answer to your question is absolutely.
That's integrated transportation.
I could although we live right by the ferry. So for us, we kind of just hop on the ferry, which is a different kind of transportation. But Alex would be like, all of Sherry's things would not fit on the bus.
you would truly need a Tank. All right.
Well, I want to let him hit on one more point. Okay. I know we're running a little bit short on time, and there's something we definitely want to talk about towards the end when we have more fun. I want to let you talk about rapid transit, because this is the now. Sure. This is like the zones are important, but rapid transit is really very much at the forefront right this second.
So to really have a very robust transit system, it needs to move through these corridors very quickly. So we did a study of four corridors in Cincinnati, and we've chosen two of them to build bus rapid transit. You may hear it called BRT, bus rapid transit. The two corridors are Reading Road and Hamilton Avenue. And what this is there'll be bus-only lanes, not for the entire corridor, but for more than 50% of the corridor. There'll be bus-only lanes, signal prioritization. So as the bus is coming up, if the light is green, getting ready to turn, it'll stay green a little longer so the bus can get through. If it's red, it'll turn green a little sooner so the bus can get through. There are things called bat lanes, bus and turn lanes. So you'll get the bus will get in its own lane when it's at a red light. The light will turn green for the bus so it moves in front of the traffic, so it moves very quickly through the corridor. The bus rapid transit system doesn't stop at every block, so there are fewer stops, so it moves much quicker through. Level boarding, so when it comes up to a platform, roll. If you're in a wheelchair, you have a stroller, you roll right on, roll right off. All the payment happens off the vehicle, so the vehicle comes up, people get on and off, and then it moves very quickly through the corridor. We're really excited about that. We're in the process of the design work right now. That'll take about a year, year and a half, and then we'll start construction.
Do they get their own dedicated lanes on those streets? Is that how that works?
Dedicated lanes. Yes, this will be a game changer for this region.
I do think that people will see the buses flying by them in the traffic and be like, I'd rather be on the bus.
Yeah.
But one of the other real important things about this is the economic development that happens, affordable housing. Businesses tend to open their businesses along these corridors. So if you've been in any other city where you've seen BRT come, there is a lot of development. So jobs, a lot of development that happens along the BRT lines. So we're really excited. We've spent a lot of time in the communities where the BRT will run through. The communities are really excited about BRT.
How soon will one of those be up and running, do you think?
Reading Road, we hope to start in about 2027.
Okay. That's right around the corner.
And BRT again?
Bus Rapid Transit.
Bus Rapid Transit. Okay.
Right,
Reading Road, boy, can you imagine one like on Glendale?
Oh, Glenway.
Or Glenway, I mean.
Yeah.
Glenway and Montgomery are the other two that we studied.
I knew it. Because, man, that
Glenway
is...
Glenway probably needs a little bit more work before we put a trap.
He might want to come over and work at Metro, too.
Oh, we need to keep him here.
Speaking of that, if I could just squeeze this
do
in.
Do it.
We are hiring operators. We need operators.
What are you saying?
It is a fantastic. No, and I wasn't thinking operator for you, but we're hiring operators. So
bus
if
drivers.
Anyone, bus drivers.
Okay.
And these are good paying jobs.
Very
tell
good
us
paying
the starting
jobs.
Pay.
Yeah, starting pay is $19 during training. It goes to $21 an hour after training and more than $33 an hour. And you can get there within 5 years. It's a great job.
Great retirement plan, right?
Great retirement plan. Great healthcare plan. GED.
Okay.
You have to have a clean driving record. We need operators. I'd hire 100 tomorrow if I could get them. So anyone looking for a job or if you know someone looking for a job, and we're part of the community, it's earnest work, please come apply. Go Metro. Go-metro.com.
Man, I'm excited.
Selling.
I mean, I know.
You are inspirational, by the way. You know, you the passion you have for your job comes out, and I think that's probably one of the reasons Metro has made so much progress. Because just sitting here, like, you know, when we talk about having guests on the podcast, let's just face it: the guy that runs the bus system, not the sexiest guest to have on a podcast.
They're not looking at him.
But
no,
people
just...
are listening. People who are listening, I know they're going to hear your enthusiasm for this and your passion for it, and start to understand why it's important. I'm sure I'm not the first person that has said that to you.
So it's important for people to understand. It's not me. It's the people that work at Metro. They really care.
That's what all good leaders say.
You know what, though? I actually believe that.
It is
somebody at Metro is in my leadership class and just the most respect for him. And so it's both. It's both.
The passion, the leaders of the organization, the employees of the organization, our operators are absolutely amazing. And I'm sure you've heard the stories about operators pulling over because they saw a child walking down the street and bringing the child on. Or we actually had one operator run into a burning building and pull a person out of a building. We're part of this community. Our operators, their parents in the community, their grandparents, their uncles, their aunts, they will help anyone that's on their bus or they watch what's going on around the community. The employees of our organization are amazing. Our board is amazing. We all understand what our charge is for our community, and we're all dedicated to getting it done.
So the Daryl Haley story. You said you're from here. You went to the University of Cincinnati.
You see. And go Bearcats.
Go Bearcats, as did I. And since you're from here, we have to ask you where you went to high school.
Withrow.
Withrow High School.
Okay. How did you get there?
I walked to Withrow.
Okay.
Withrow, I lived a few blocks from Withrow. I walked to Withrow. Okay. Caught the bus to work in the school.
That's fantastic. Now, I like going to Reds games.
Okay.
And I probably over the years have seen during the seventh inning, this group come out and sing a just fill your heart rendition of God Bless America. And I was like, I don't know, yesterday years old when I realized, no, I knew longer than that, but that you are part of that group, the Mystics.
Yes.
That sings at Great American Ballpark, other events in town. And you've been doing that for 30 years?
Over 30 years.
30 years. Tell us a little bit about your side hustle here. You're a baritone.
So I'm a baritone.
Yes, I can hear it.
I'm a baritone. If you love harmony, you haven't heard anything like the harmony that you hear from the Mystics. It's me and my brother. My brother is the bass. And the other two guys, the Godfrey brothers. And we've been singing together, same four guys. We've been singing together for over 30 years. We have a website. I'm not going to plug it.
Oh, plug
because
it.
Because I'm here to talk about
Metro.
Oh,
no. Plug it.
That's what we're here for.
It is Mystics with an I, M-I-S-T-I-C-S.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because some people as old as me might remember the Mystics with a Y, like the doo-wop band from way back when.
Yes.
Trying to think of a Mystic song. Well, I think I'm going out on my... That group, yeah.
Phil, we're singing on the podcast again.
I think I'm going out
on my... That's kind of gone.
This is not that Mystics. This is Cincinnati's Mystics with an I. Like mist.
Right.
Like mist.
Do you want to sing just a little bit?
No, absolutely not.
No, I thought you were going to say absolutely.
So anyway, it just adds to like the amazing story you have in our community. So we just couldn't interview you on this podcast without mentioning the Mystics. Where, if someone wanted to go see the Mystics, could we go see? What do you have next on your calendar?
Go out to our Facebook page or our website. We are at The Mystics, themistics.com. And we have a concerts page. There's a way to contact us if you want to hire the Mystics. Or you want to come see us, there's a concerts page. Thank you for mentioning that.
We had to.
It's fine.
You know, everybody has to have that balance. You know what I mean?
I agree. I totally agree. All right.
I think that's a wrap today.
I think that's a great place to end on. Daryl, thank you for spending time with us today.
Yes, I really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for asking me to come out for the conversation. Really appreciate it.
Okay, you guys look for the list of the neighborhood projects coming up in a Cincinnati.com story with the sort of money, the most recent round. It was just awarded, so it's pretty fresh, and we'll put that out there so everyone can see what's coming to their neighborhood. Oh, well, that was great. We did hit all the highlights, I feel like, and I agree. You wouldn't think that talking about the bus system would be, you know, like that's what you want to have a guest talk about. But I could keep talking to him, honestly.
No, he's so passionate about what he does. And I was even going to mention, we didn't have a chance, just how the bus system, how Metro has responded to how people want to get around town. I noticed downtown, a bus stop, there was a guy on a bike and he picked up his bike and put it on one of those, you know, this bus had a huge like rack in the front of the bus so that if you are trying to avoid using your car or you don't have a car and you want to do part of the commute on a bike and then you want to do like the rest of it on the bus, it even accommodates that. It's just so fascinating to me how much change has happened in such a small amount of time with, you know, the Metro bus system. So anyway.
Well, what I didn't tell him is, you know what, if you ride the bus system, then you're very used to it. I was in New York City last week, and we're going to blame the champagne on the plane for being a little bit tipsy, but we took the subway into the city. But you have to transfer from the airport train to the subway system.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just say it took extra time.
If you're not used to
it. We were like, have we been around the airport more than one time? I think we have. What are we doing?
If you're not used to it, it can be a little hard. But like you said, you know, they're trying to demystify the process. There's an app you can use, you know.
So I did miss one of my favorite events in Cincinnati. I know I say favorite a lot, but it really is a very short list. And I missed Zoofari, which I know you went to, but yes. I did have a chance to see Kelly Clarkson on the Today Show Plaza, and that you can't, yeah, anybody really, that can't follows really say you, no to that.
Anybody that follows you on social media knows that not only did you have a chance to see Kelly Clarkson on the Today Show for that concert thing they do, it's right out front Times Square, right?
Yes, and well, yeah. On the Rockefeller Plaza.
Rockefeller Plaza. Not only did you see it, you were literally like right up against the stage high-fiving Kelly Clarkson.
It was really
like,
fun.
Yeah,
it was really fun. I was
to live your life, Sherry.
It was a last-minute surprise from a friend of mine. And I was like, does it have to be on Zoofari night? But yes, I want to do that.
So you miss Zoofari. So I hadn't been for a while. I mean, I hadn't been in years. And I see why it's one of your favorite events. Zoofari is the annual fundraiser for the zoo. It's not a dinner. It's at the zoo. It's kind of like a walkable feast where there are different restaurants and chefs.
Used to be under a big tent, but they made COVID changed
you
that.
You stroll around the zoo, and it's just fun. You know, people dress up. Some people are in black ties. Some people are wearing like safari outfits. But when it comes to these types of annual dinner events, this is so unique. It really capitalizes on how special the zoo is as far as a venue. You know, they had live music. They had people with animals outside for you to get up close and personal with. Owls, reptiles, snakes. I mean, it just is a fun event. But I was impressed because it's one of those events where I think they really sweat the details. And I'll give you two examples. One, if you're at these events and you're dressed up and you're wearing heels, you can have sore feet by the time the night is over, right?
I'm aware of this fact, bro.
Yes, yes. And a lot of women will take their heels off and walk around barefoot. But
no,
not this year at Zoofari
that.
Because they were handing out, as the evening was, you know, winding up, flip-flops, like slippers almost, like sponsored by one of their key sponsors.
They have done this before.
Yeah, so that is the most brilliant marketing. Yeah. Because when you talk about like marketing giveaways, pens and, you know, I can't even think of things now, like, you know, squeeze balls and hats or whatever. You know, they're nice and whatever, but to have something so
practical,
like very practical, aimed at the audience that's there that night, I thought that was very impressive. And here's the other thing. Because it's one of those like movable feast type things where you walk around and have a bite here and a bite there. If you're like me and Lauren and you're talking all night, you know, you might feel like, oh, I'm still a little hungry. So as we were leaving, I was about to tell her, I'm like, hey, you want to stop at Skyline on the way home? But no.
It was there.
Skyline was there.
They know what they're doing at the zoo.
At the door as you left, yeah. Making cheese conies. I mean, how Cincinnati can you get?
I know. It's a really good event. I'm sorry, man.
It was a great event. And, you know, Thane Maynard, the zoo director, who we've had on the podcast before, was there with his cheetah print bow tie. Making
what
the rounds, talking to people. I wear the classic black tux.
Okay.
You know, I haven't worn my tux for a while. In fact, I was telling Lauren didn't even know I had a tux. Can you believe that?
Do you not share a closet with her?
I mean, we do, but it was kind of like in the back and has a bag over it or whatever. And I don't do a lot of smart things, but when I got that tux like 20 years ago, I was looking at like what was in style at the time. And I thought, no, I'm going to go for just the classic straight black tux that stands the test of time. Not a tux like I wore to prom with ruffles and lapels that you can hang glide with.
Oh, that picture I want to see. You know whose picture I saw is Michelle Jones. So Michelle Jones just moved and she randomly came across the pictures that we talked about from the fashion magazine at the University of Cincinnati.
I got to bring my copy in for you.
So
yeah.
She was texting me pictures.
You can't
of
just
it.
Say Michelle Jones. You have to say, hey Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
So people know.
Yes.
Yeah. She, of course, she was at Zoofari. And so, I'm not like Mr. Socialite like you are. Like, I don't go to every event in town like you do.
You go to a lot of things.
I go to some. And if I'm honest, most of these things, I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go. Another, like, you know, dinner and speakers and whatever inside a room or whatever. I look forward to Safari. It's just they do it right. You know, the zoo is a gem. I know people don't take it for granted. We're very proud of our zoo here. But that's just yet another reason to get into the zoo, I think. So anyway,
all right.
That was my moment.
We have to get dressed up again next week. Hats off.
Oh, that's right.
The Park Foundation.
All right. I have two options for hats.
Oh, tell me.
I kind of have like a derby-ish hat, like okay. Something you could wear to the derby. And then something I'm more comfortable in, I just have a straight up black Stetson.
Well, it depends. How about this? It depends on the weather, which I was looking at this morning. I have a lot of things next week. And so I was looking at weather for outfit planning. I know you didn't really
like
do that.
I have like four or five different Cincinnati Reds hats too.
It's
probably not appropriate.
No, but I think that the Parks Foundation would say that people should feel comfortable and they enjoy the park. And however that is, that you should do that.
Are you going to wear, what is it called, a fascinator?
I'm wearing a flower crown.
A flower crown?
Yes, it's already out and ready to go.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we'll have to talk about that next time.
But the Inquirer does help sponsor the Hats Off for the Parks Foundation, and yes, it's their biggest fundraiser. So we're in fundraiser season.
We are.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you had
a big one.
I'm glad you
up.
Had fun in New York.
Yes, I did.
All right.
I did.
We'll have to talk more about fundraisers later. I got a big one coming
up.
That's
I know. So
all right. We'll leave our listeners
on the
edges of their collective seats with that one.
All right. That's a wrap.